Men, we can feel all kinds of anxiety about our investments, work, family issues, kids, you name it. But Jesus shows us to be anxious for nothing, to trust the Father for everything, just for today. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick, and welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues men may think about, but we don't often talk about. We're breaking down the Our Father. Our topic, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, this time on Crossing the Goal. It is kickoff time on Crossing the Goal. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Today, give us this day our daily bread. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team, the author of a booklet called Living the Lord's Prayer, Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries. From Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students and the author of Made for More, we have Curtis Martin and former Saint Danny. He played for the Saints, coached for the Saints and the Bears, and the author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, Danny Abramowitz. Coach, for guys like me, really independent, thought I could do it all myself, it's really tough for us to learn dependence.
Yeah, I think you're right. Men have a problem with this. And what we do we really believe and trust that God will supply our basic needs when we do this prayer? Or are we worried and anxious that God will not supply us with our wants? Right. Watch this. At our timetable.
Yeah. That's a huge distinction. I mean, the whole theme here today is learning how to live under the provision of God, the providence of God. And reading the section, Matthew 6, I remember that passage, Jesus says, you know, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Mm-hmm. And then one of the apostles picks it up later and says, have no anxiety about anything. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, Lord, we seem to have anxiety about everything, as opposed to, so are you asking us to do something that's literally impossible? And what it does is Jesus' command here reveals something about the condition of our heart, which we'll talk more about in the game plan. But
no, we have to see that the whole purpose, again, where we're talking about the Our Father, and God is trying to tell us, look, the world and the devil have been telling you lies about my fatherly heart. I'm trying to teach you that you can rely on me. I've got your back. I want you to trust me. I actually will make provision for you. I want you to be able to rely on that. Why? Because there will be times in your life when your trust is going to be tested. And I need you to know that you can trust in me at all times.
You know, it's amazing with this. We pray and we're worried, the Lord's not answering my prayer. Why hasn't he answered my prayer? Well, sometimes the answer to the prayer, our daily needs, is no.
Yeah, or not yet.
Yeah. Or not yet. Yeah. How many times have you ever gone and prayed and the answer was no? You're so mad and, dang, why didn't it? A year and a half later, thank God he didn't give me that, what I asked for.
He knew then what you only found out later.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's the zinger in this for me is Jesus says, not only do not be anxious about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. He said, because the unbelievers are worried about these things all the time. He said, I don't want you to be worried about it because you know that your Father in heaven knows what you need. That, to me, is the big issue. Do we really know it, and do we believe he wants to give us what we need?
And the daily bread issue is huge, because you talk to people like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to put my kids through college. Well, how old is your kid? Oh, he's 3.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you say every day, give us this day our daily bread, not give us our bread for 17 years from now. And we actually pray this way regularly. And you have to remember, God wants to meet us where we are every day. He's not going to make provision for you 10 years down the road.
Just one day at a time. Just for today. And guys, if we're going to trust in God for our daily bread, we're going to need a game plan. Curtis and Peter have that for us next here on Crossing the Goal.
Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Each morning when I wake and each evening when I go to sleep, I ask God to give me the strength, the love, and the wisdom and the patience to deal with what's ahead.
Give me today, God, the daily nourishment. Feed me what I need to be able to do what you ask of me today.
Peter, we're talking about God's desire to make provision for us in the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. And the image that our Lord, I'm sure, had on his mind as he said this flows back to Moses and leading the people out of Egypt. And every day God would give the people their bread, but it would rain down from heaven. And it was an amazing thing because the Jews were told, gather the bread you need and nothing more. And then we're told a few people gathered too much, and every time they did, it just rotted. God wanted to give you just enough today to get you by. He'll take care of you tomorrow. So how do we apply that to our lives today?
You know, in some ways you see what they were being trained, what Israel was, the Lord was doing with Israel in the desert was training them to look to Him for their provision. Now, we're not supposed to go out every morning and look for food to fall from the sky. This is not an exhortation to idleness or passivity or just waiting around for God to do something. We're supposed to use our talents. We're supposed to use everything we have to work as hard as we can, whatever we've been called to do. But God's going to provide for us through that, and He's going to provide for us beyond that.
No, you see, I mean, there's a temptation with regards to money. We find ourselves, you know, we trust in it.
Yeah.
And the Bible's filled with examples
of money. It's amazing,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's amazing that the Scripture talks more about money than almost any other subject. And what the Scripture ends up saying is not that money's a bad thing or you shouldn't have money. In fact, a disciple can have lots of money. And some people are given a gift to be able to make a lot of money. But the bottom line is the concern is that, and the reason there's so much teaching is we have a tendency to lean on money for provision, to lean and trust in money like we're supposed to lean and trust in the Lord. I believe with money, all things are possible. Money can make me rich, happy, secure, strong, give me an identity, put me in the inner circle. All the things our flesh wants to have, money's got power.
And look what the founding fathers, the early Americans saw this, and so they stamped on every bill. If you take a look at, I don't have any money. Danny, can I borrow some money?
Yeah.
On the back of our bills, you see it says, in God we trust. Why do they say it on our bills? Because we're tempted to put our trust in money.
Yeah,
but we want to put our trust in God. So there was a reminder that the early Americans said, look, every time you look at our money, we want to say, we're not going to trust in this. We're going to trust it in God. Guess what? We've forgotten to read our own money. And we find ourselves back trusting and getting anxious. Because when we don't place our trust in God, we become, do I have enough money?
Yeah.
And we remember, He's got our back. He's going to take care of us.
Well, at the end of the day, money, God gives us what we need. Money's part of what the Lord gives to us. You know, Jesus tells us what to do with money. He says, store up, instead of being worried about your money, take what you have, take your money and store your treasure in heaven. He says, if you store your treasure in heaven, your heart's going to follow. Make a good investment. It's as if the Lord has given us inside trader tips about an investment that's really going to last. He says, look, I'm going to teach you to invest in eternal realities. So take your treasure and invest it in the things of the kingdom. Take what you need for yourself, but then take the rest and invest it in the work of the Lord, which is a way of storing up your treasure in heaven, and then your heart's going to follow. Your heart's going to be on heaven where it needs to be.
In fact, as we receive from the Lord, we've been instructed that we should give from the first fruits back to Him a tenth, a tithe. And we want to be able to, in that act, trust in God and be able to say, Lord, it's all yours, not just the 10%. Yeah. It's all yours as a symbolic gesture. I give you the first fruits back. Then, as you said, I'm going to use what I need. And then I want to be generous and invest, not in the stock market. That's okay, too. But in human lives. Listen to what the Proverbs say. Yeah. We see wisdom in the Proverbs where God the Father is speaking to His sons. And this is what He says about money. He says, feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane your name. In other words, if I have too much, I get lazy and sloppy in my spiritual life because I don't really believe you're caring for me. I kind of got it, Lord. I'm pretty self-made over here. Mm-hmm. Or if I have so little that I can't make by, I'll break the commandments and steal. But if I live within moderation, allow my needs to be met, and then care for others, I'm fulfilling God's will.
I mean, one of the foundational principles that you're talking about is that the Scripture teaches us, the Lord wants to teach us how to have the right relationship to money. And the first step is, it's His. It belongs to Him, which is why we tithe. And it's an expression of that, giving out of what the Lord's given us. At the end of the day, I'm the Lord's money manager. The money's not mine. Now, we take the opposite view. The money's mine, and I'm going to think about giving a little bit over here. My conscience might tell me to do it, but I actually think it's mine to do with what I want to do with it. When you become a disciple, it's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. The Lord wants us to have the provision that we need. But the reason we can look at it that way is we know the Lord is our portion. We know the Lord will take care of us. And the Lord, you know, the Psalms say, taste and see how good the Lord is. The Lord is our provision. And we live by that goodness with the treasure in our heart.
One of the reasons that our money is the Lord's is because, Peter, we are the Lord's.
Yeah.
And so everything we have is His already because we are His. I like to tease my kids and say, well, I have $10. I said, no, I have $10 because I got you. And so we kind of joke around that way. But it's true with the Lord. Yeah. And we want to be able to recognize, in fact, this is His point in that famous passage when He says, render under Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, how do you know? It's got Caesar's image on it. Render unto God what is God's. What's God's? You and me, because we were made in His image. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Thanks, Peter. Great game plan. Danny, if Curtis thinks he doesn't have any money now, wait till he tries to put those 8 kids through college.
Better him than me. Yeah.
You know, there was a time when he didn't even have enough money for dinner. We've got that story and other great stories next. Headed down to the pit.
And we're going to watch for the giveaways and the takeaways.
That's right, Coach. We're in the red zone next on Crossing the Goal. All right. We're here in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. Give us this day our daily bread as we look at the Lord's Prayer. And you guys might be thinking at home, what do these guys know about needing anything, being anxious for anything? I mean, they're sitting there on TV, but Curtis, you've got a story that can sort of open some eyes.
No, Brian, I'll tell you, my wife and I went back to graduate school shortly after our first son was born, and we had spent several years praying and thinking about this. Is this where we're supposed to go? And I realized that graduate school was a luxury, but we really felt as though God had called me to go back to school. So we kind of made the agreement that we would discern His will, but if we missed a meal or our family ever went without a roof over our head, I would drop out of school the next day. And so we're in the first semester of graduate school and about halfway through, and we run out of money. And a couple days later, we're out of food. And I'm thinking, this is it, we're gonna miss dinner, and I'm gonna have to pull out of school tomorrow. And we're sitting there, and I just prayed, Lord, we spent months discerning this and praying about this. Is this where we're supposed to be? And there's a knock on the door, and our neighbor never did this before, never did it again, came over and said, look, we made way too much spaghetti. Would you like some? And we ate spaghetti dinner that night, and there was enough left over for breakfast. And then the next day, there was a special.
You didn't realize it tastes so good for breakfast.
Spaghetti is good for breakfast. That was the best ever. Yeah. And the next day, a special delivery letter. My wife had been in a car accident before we got married, and there was a settlement. And that got us through the rest of his semester. Yeah. So it's close, but we got our daily bread.
Oh, yeah, gotta let us sweat. He never lets us down, but he lets us sweat, Dan. Yeah.
Well, there's another side of the coin.
Yeah.
You know, in my case, it's a little different than yours. Everyone looked at me like I had to put together, you know, NFL career awards and all this kind of stuff. And then through my drinking and all this business, I had gotten this into a terrible financial condition. Mm-hmm. Lost the house and everything. It was terrible. In fact, I can remember sitting out in the yard, my wife and I was praying, and I was literally crying. We had $500 total to our name, and I was in the insurance business at that time, didn't know much about it or anything, and I had this one guy that I was trying to sell insurance to, and if he didn't come through, I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. Welfare, I didn't know. So we were praying. And the next day, this guy called, he says, Danny, he says, we're not gonna buy the insurance.
Yeah.
But, he says, we wanna hire you.
Wow.
And he paid me more than I was making before my other job, and he says, what we're gonna do too is give you a month's back pay.
Yeah. This goes back to what you were saying earlier, Danny, about needs and wants. And
oh, yeah.
The Lord will provide for our needs. You know, Jesus said, you know, the Father knows your needs. That's why I don't want you to be full of fear and anxiety. But, you know, all of us, we were talking about this off camera, all of us have had nights when we're thinking, where's our next dollar going to come from? Or something happens, we're full of anxiety, you're laying in bed, your heart's beating, you can't get to sleep, you're sweating, and then you're feeling bad, like, did I blow it? You know, I can't provide for my own family. If I made the right decisions, you feel shame. And then thinking about the brothers out there who've lost their jobs. There's, in this economy, lots of guys have lost jobs. Guys who own businesses are concerned about all the people that they're caring for. I mean, that's big stuff. But there's a learning curve there. There's a learning curve
absolutely.
For all this. Paul says, I have learned the secret of contentment. He says, I've gone hungry. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I have experienced this in my life. And what I discovered was, even when I don't have what I think I need and I'm hungry, God provides for me and I'm able to get through it, and God himself is my portion.
And the perfect thing in my case, you're talking about his time frame.
Yeah.
He waited to the very end,
right,
and he provided. And then when I was almost ready to lose hope, you know what was amazing too in that whole story? We couldn't sell our house. But in the meantime, he had encouraged me to start a prayer meeting. And I did at the house. See, I needed those men in my life at that time. I was really whipped down and I couldn't sell the house. Once that thing started taking place, it wasn't long after that we also sold the house.
The Bible tells us, go ahead.
Do you think he lets it go to the very end, like in your case and in yours? You guys got down to that place where you didn't have enough to eat, so that we see where it comes from instead of us thinking, I got this.
The point I want to make exactly, why does God bless us? He blesses us because he wants us to come and pray to him. Problem is, when he blesses us, we turn our back on him.
Right.
So he withholds those blessings temporarily, and then what do we end up doing? Lord, Lord.
Lord,
and he's got us back where he wants us, in relationship and talking to him. Now he wants to show you, guess what? When you turn to me, I will care for you. And he wants us to learn that secret.
Yeah.
Because what Paul, I think, really learned was, if I'm in communion with my Father all the time, then he meets my needs.
Yeah. I mean, it's going back, I think we have to make a decision, and we've all had to face that at times like that where you're panicking. You mean you literally feel panic and you think, what am I going to do? And guys deal with that in a lot of different ways. And one of the things that can happen, instead of us turning toward the Lord and trusting, a lot gets revealed in that crisis. And the first instinct is, where are you? Some provider you are. And there's anger because of the humiliation and all the stuff that you experience in the whole thing. And you think, this Christianity stuff, pie in the sky. It's not real. Where's God if he loves me? I mean, guys go through all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, I've had those feelings in my life.
Been there.
And then the Lord just has to patiently teach us that he is trustworthy. And the only way we know it is when he gets us to the limit, and then he provides for us and gives us that moment where we say,
And the longer
you
practice.
Maybe. Yeah.
The longer you practice this kind of thinking and habitually going to the Lord, then you can look back and see, he was there, and he was there, and he was there. He's going
to
be here.
Look at the nature of God. He actually what he wants is for us to trust and to pray, to talk to him. And so we are in this situation, and he has the habit throughout history of doing this. What he will do is he'll lead us to places where we have to trust him. Think about the people with Moses. Moses leads them out of Egypt, and his game plan is to lead them to a big giant sea that doesn't have a bridge. And then they're sitting there going, great, this is not really a good game plan. And then the Egyptian army starts to attack, and they can get to the point where they see the whites of their eyes, and then the sea parts, and they're able to go through. Or Jesus himself, you know, you think the devil can take me? Great, I'll tell you what, I'll lay dead in a tomb for 3 days, but on the third day, I'm coming back.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it's a sense of, I can take care of you, I can take care of the devil, just let me show you what I can do.
Danny, let's switch gears a little bit here.
Yeah, go ahead.
And let's talk about the greatest gift that he's given us.
Yeah.
His daily bread, the Eucharist.
Right.
You know, we said, well, what does that really play into this thing? Well, it does and it doesn't, but it does.
To you bet it does.
For me,
big time, big time.
Yeah.
Because that's where the transformation, that the Eucharist is so powerful that we take it for granted. Do you think that he came, suffered, died, buried, rose again, ascended, just for us to attend Mass at 11 o'clock on Sunday? I don't think so. I think the opportunity is presented in most Catholic dioceses throughout the United States to attend Mass daily. Most of us, I think, are daily communicants. I mean, if I miss Mass, it's like something is totally missing in my life. It's like a void.
I started to attend daily Mass in my 20s. I had a radical conversion.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I walked in the church and I felt, it looks like people are cramming for the final exam. They're all 90-year-old people.
Yeah.
And you don't have to just wait till you're cramming for the final exam.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can go now. Even if it's just one extra day a week,
right,
just go. It's amazing what that extra time, how it connects you spiritually with our Lord.
I think it's important to keep in mind, too, that the Catechism, you know, says the bread of life, and we're talking about daily bread, the bread of life is word and sacrament. Word and sacrament. That's why at the Eucharist, what do we get? We get word and sacrament. And so if you can't get to Mass every day, you got to be in the Word of God every day.
Exactly.
Why? Because the Word of God is going to cleanse your mind. Our mind, one of the reasons we're so full of panic and fear, our mind is like a sponge. And you think about this, and take a sponge, you throw it into muddy water. What happens to the sponge? You pick it up. It's muddy, it's dirty. We got a lot of junk in our minds that we react to and respond to in difficult times. God's word is like a fresh spring of water or a faucet of water. You take that sponge, you put it under, and just wash it out. Let the truth of God's word, who you are, who God is, how God wants us to respond to crisis, wash over us every single day. That's part of God's bread and provision for us. It's crucial.
No, and then you begin to see that it's those trials, it's almost like that's when God squeezes the sponge as it's under that pure water to shake out the crud, because that's what happens. Lord, I don't want to be attached to things that don't work.
Right.
It caused me grief.
And we talk about giveaway takeaways. A lot of people say, I don't get much out of it. Well,
what
how much
do you
put into it?
Yeah.
You know, you have to put in, it's not a feely, touchy bear type of thing. Yeah. When you're there in the presence, we talked earlier shows about the awe of God. When you go to Mass and participate in the awe of the Eucharist being there, that Jesus Christ gave himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, if we believe that, if we truly believe that, why wouldn't I want to go there every day?
Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to get the last word up in the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. It is the prayer Jesus himself taught us to pray. And this time on Crossing the Goal, we've been discussing Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Here in the end zone, we give each of these guys on the Crossing the Goal team a chance for the last word, beginning with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. Brothers, one of the first things we needed to do and to hear from the Lord here is that in the face of crisis and difficulty, or just daily life, Jesus is trying to give us a disposition. He's trying to lead us to make a decision, and that is to seek first the kingdom, which means to seek first the King. If you're watching today, this week, and you're experiencing, you're in the midst of all kinds of financial trial and difficulty, and you're experiencing the kind of panic we were talking about, the number one thing to do is seek first the kingdom.
Great word, Peter. Our Lord goes on from that point to promise that as we seek, then these things will be added on. We tend to want to get the things first, and then when we have our free time, we're going to seek God. And God wants to be first in our lives. So my invitation to you, in fact, my challenge to you today, is that we would take this commission, this call seriously, to be fed on a daily basis. First of all, with the Word, to spend some time. I don't know how to read the Bible. Give God 5 minutes. You spend 5 minutes, give him five more. Open up to the Gospels, spend some time with our Lord, and then make that decision maybe to get to Mass one more time a week than we usually do.
Thank you, Curtis. Men, out here we start talking about our wants and our needs. We've been talking about it on the show. Well, we sort of departmentalize that a lot of times. Well, I'll give him this, I'll go after this, this big thing. If he'll answer this, I'll do this. We cut and deals with the Lord all the time. Aren't we doing that? I mean, I did it before in my life. No more cutting deals. Take everything to the Lord, everything that we have, from the big things to the little things. Trust in the Lord and he'll supply your daily needs.
Take it from the coach, it works. Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, we thank you for being with us on Crossing the Goal. I'm Brian Patrick. Next time, we're really going to challenge you, men. We ask for forgiveness as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's next time on Crossing the Goal. Today, give us our day, this daily bread.
This day. One for the team, yeah.
That's it. And it's starting to even the score. Let's go.
All right, because that's
if you can get it right this time, it'd be great.
It is the prayer Jesus himself taught us to pray, the Our Father. And this time I'm...
Some guy ducking under the table. What the heck?
Stealing my lines. I mean, you guys are killing me.
Stealing your lines. You've been writing your lines.